हरिः ॐ सहनवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। Tantra Sutras, Chapter 2, Chit Paratha Prakarana, Spirit, page 89, Sutra 19. Because it restores the soul to its original nature, renunciation of materialism brings liberation. So, the original nature of the soul is to not be conditioned, right? So because by renunciation of material things, that brings you back to the liberated state, because that's the natural state of the jiva. The Lord, the jiva, they're all naturally liberated. The Lord, though, can never not be liberated, but the jiva can be under the influence of the material energy. Udriti, Srila Jiva Goswami, explains the process of the jiva's liberation in Anuchetas 82 and 83 as follows. Having explained that the world is the natural Shakti of Paramatma, and hinting that the jiva by knowledge can destroy the world, his relationship with it, the author explains the ahankara, which creates an upadhi and is made of Paramatma Shakti, but is an obstacle to revealing jiva's swarup. In order to teach rejection of its adhyasa, imposition, by which one can attain liberation. Right? The cloud is a product of the sun and is revealed by the sun, but the cloud covers the eye, another portion of the sun. The effects of Brahman are revealed by Brahman. Similarly, the ahankara, the effect of Brahman, makes the jiva, a portion of Brahman, bind itself up. Srimad Bhagavatam 12.4.32. So as the sun, by its effect, the clouds are created because it evaporates the water, and then by the effect of that, then you get the clouds. So the clouds are nothing other than an expansion of the sun, right? They're an effect of the sun. So, but by that, then the cloud show, that means the sun, but now the cloud covers us, so we can't see the sun. But the cloud is an effect of the sun. But so it's only by the sun itself that it comes out again, then it will evaporate the cloud or move the clouds. So the living entity is that the in the same way is that the false ego is an effect of Brahman. And then the jiva, which is a portion of Brahman, he becomes covered by that. Right, and so then he can't see Brahman or see the absolute truth. Giving up the adhyasa, mistaken identity, does not take place by itself, but by the strength of inquiry about Paramatma. Right, in other words, the cloud won't go away except by the effect of this, by the influence of the sun. To express this, the previous example is continued. When the cloud produced from the sun is destroyed, the eye can see its own form and the sun. Similarly, when the spirit soul destroys its material covering of false ego by acquiring it to Paramatma, he realizes the Atma and the Lord. Srimad Bhagavatam 12.4.33. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. When the ahankara, the covering on the jiva, is destroyed, one realizes Brahman. This is explained through an example. When the cloud is destroyed, the eye sees the sun. It's true. It's upadhi in its true form. The human eye and not the eye of the owl sees the sun. Similarly, the eye of the jnani who has some bhakti sees Brahman, but not the person without bhakti. Bhaktyaham ekaya grahya. I am only achieved by bhakti. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.14.21. When ahankara is destroyed, one realizes Brahman, right? So you see, here's the natural process that the Bhagavatam is taking. So in here, we see that in Shankara's philosophy, in the Mayavad philosophy, they're taking this example and this whole thing. But we see in there, they put a twist on it because they're materialists. They may not be gross materialists. They're subtle and metaphysical materialists, but they're still materialists because they see themselves separate from the Lord. So then that means the only place they can be separate from the Lord, that only puts an emphasis on the field of action and correct action, right? And so that's where the main emphasis is, because that's what you can see like that. What result you'll get, whether you'll enjoy that you can't guarantee. But you know that in this field, this action can be performed, and this would be a proper way to perform that action. That much you can do. So in the material world, that's the focus. That's why you see, if someone is good at what they do, they're professional in what they do, we consider, oh, they're very elevated, simply because they're dealing with these two things properly. Even if their consciousness is the lowest and they're on anamoy, but then, you know, of course, if most people are on anamoy, then it's good. So so they're taking this particular point, but then putting a twist on it, that when you get rid of this adhyasa, right, this false conception, right, of oneself, then you become God. But all they're doing is switching from one false identity to another. I am false identity. I'm the body. I am false identity. I am the total of Brahman, the absolute truth. No. Yes, you are Brahman, but you're not the supreme Brahman. So they take that aspect that we're Brahman, but then they'll say, oh, but we're God. No, you're small God, small Brahman. You're not the unlimited Brahman. But they'll say, no, but the drop becomes unlimited. Where does it come from? What is that? You know? And if you say, no, but Brahman came off, it just goes back into it. But Brahman can't be divided. I mean, the soul can't be divided. Why would Brahman be able to be divided? Right? If it's all Brahman. So they're not using their logic here. You can see it's because of attachment, they become deluded. And in that deluded position, they say things that actually don't have anything to do with reality. But of course, because they're attached to it, and it brings about gaining what it is that they're interested in, then they're happy to leave that one. But it's not logical. And so then Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur points out is, now what makes the difference between someone being able to understand this point and understand actually the Lord, or looking at analyzing this point and not being able to actually understand the proper thing? So he points out that's because of bhakti. So when there's actually bhakti towards the Lord, then you can actually understand this in its natural position. But if there is no devotion, just through analysis, how will you know the unlimited absolute truth using limited mundane tools? You know, that's not going to work. But because of their false ego, their pride, they think, because this is me and I'm so fabulous, therefore I can do it. But the point is how? But you're the soul, you're not the body, you're not the subtle body. So that means this particular mind and intelligence and senses, you're not. And it's made of inferior material energy. And so how would that understand Brahman? Right? It means if illusion covers Brahman, and then through illusion, I reveal myself again, how I am Brahman. How does that work? How can illusion cover Brahman? And then illusion is what's used to uncover Brahman. So that means that Brahman is just a static state, and the dynamic is this illusion, this Maya, It's the one that's self-revealing. So Maya reveals Brahman. So therefore, Maya body, right? So they're not understanding what they're saying makes no sense. It's totally mundane. How would the understanding of Brahman by using Brahman, I mean, by the understanding of Brahman, which is, you know, they've come into this position and that through illusion, why would illusion remove it? You know, and then why is it in this way and removes it? What makes it there? Why illusion's illusion? So why is it this one removes and the other one doesn't? You know, so therefore, you know, if you're saying fire against fire, but then you could also just be a gross sense enjoyer, and that's false or fire, and then so it doesn't make any sense. So as we see is that all these systems, they're taking part of the actual real system that Bhagavatam's explaining. And but then they, at some point, they put their own twist on it to get their own results. So they follow the proper path up to the point where they can get what they want, and they're off the path. You know, it's just like in karma, they perform their duties without attachment, you know, in knowledge, like that, up to the point they get to whatever it is, the wealth or the heavenly planets, and then they're off, and then into sense gratification. So what happened to all that knowledge and detachment? No, it was only there for the purpose of getting into that platform. So that's the thing is the devotee, because it's about Krishna, you're pleasing Krishna, and that's an eternal principle. We are servant, we're eternally serving him. So therefore, then when you go through, that will remain because you won't stop anywhere because it's not about our enjoyment. So even when we get to the spiritual platform, it's still not about our enjoyment. And so therefore we don't stop at liberation. We keep going. Because the idea is liberation is for our own satisfaction. You know, Krishna arranges that. He's Mukunda. But the point is the jiva is so focused on service to Krishna that liberation doesn't matter to them. So just to get the platform of liberation but not service, what's the point? Prahlad Maharaj made that point. He just wants to be able to always serve Krishna. That's his desire. But if we take it that, no, I'll be liberated and that'll be wonderful, how long can you appreciate this wonderfulness? At some point, you have to be engaged in activity. So therefore, then the liberation is not actually the point of enjoyment. Liberation is a situation, right? I mean, you see, situation, same form, same opulences, same planet. An associate means you're in the same proximity. So it's all situational. And so then the living entity, you know, what are you going to do in that situation? Because willpower is applied to a situation. So what are you going to do? If you just say, no, it just will just exist in that. So that it's just a personal aspect of liberation. The other one is impersonal, you do nothing. And here you're personal and you do nothing. So that's why it's only a situation. Then you're going to apply yourself in activity. Now, if it's mundane, you won't be in the spiritual world. You'll be back in the material world. So you're not actually liberated. So then you would have to naturally use that willpower to serve Krishna, to please Krishna. Now, if you're doing that, then you're using your willpower to serve Krishna for his pleasure, then that's going to be bhakti. Right? If you use the willpower to serve the Lord for your own benefit, again, it's mundane. If it's for the Lord, then it's on the spiritual platform, it's devotion. So that means then the goal is love of Godhead, you know, because that means then you're performing devotion in that situation. But to say simply the situation is the important thing, then that's missing the point. Then it's more about yourself than about the Lord. Yeah. So here is that the point is that if you have bhakti, then these things can be revealed. And without bhakti, they'll never be revealed. You get a little glimpse, but that's about it. That's what he says, the owls, they can't actually see. Commentary by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Misidentification with the material body places the soul in an inauspicious condition, a condition that breeds worthless material desires. By renouncing those material desires, the soul becomes free from the cycle of repeated birth and death. This is so because by that renunciation, the soul attains its original nature, which is spiritual and full of bliss. That is the meaning here. This is described in the following words of Taittiriya Upanishad 2.4.1. O saintly one, a person who knows spiritual bliss never fears. Right? Because fear means that you don't know who you are, you know, like that. In a real nature, spiritual and full of bliss, fear means you don't see the eternal, you don't see the happiness. Then there's fear. So by pointing out, you know, spiritual bliss never fears means then you are beyond the material platform. Sandilya's Bhakti Sutra 3.2.93, it is said, the soul is both one and different from the Supreme. When he is freed from the material body, the sun is glorious. The soul is glorious like the sun. Who is Sandilya? Do we know? No. Sorry?
I don't know.
In the Katha Upanishad, because it seems that he's mentioning this one indifference. In the Katha Upanishad 1.2.17-18, it is said, unless Sandili is not a person, it's just the name of the Bhakti Sutra. Taking shelter in the Katha Upanishad 1.2.17-18, it is said, taking shelter of the Supreme is the most.
Maybe Shandilya Muni has written anything on Bhakti Sutras.
He has or he has?
I think he has, Maharaj.
Okay. Taking shelter of the Supreme is the most auspicious activity. One who takes shelter of the Supreme becomes glorious in the spiritual world. For the soul, there is never birth nor death, nor having once been does he ever cease to be. He is unborn, eternal, ever existing, undying, primeval. He is not slain when the body is slain. So you see, you have the same verse that's in the Bhagavad Gita and is here in the Katha Upanishad. In the Katha Upanishad 1.2.6, right, so it's saying auspicious activity and all that. Taking shelter of the Lord, you know, therefore you're going to be doing devotional activities. And then it points out how we have to always remember is that the soul is not this body, right? It's eternal. It's not from this place. So it's a natural position because if we're establishing that he's doing proper activity. Why? Because he doesn't belong here. That's where he belongs. In the Katha Upanishad 1.2.6, the Amara says, fools intoxicated by wealth say this world is all and there is no other. These fools will not be glorious in the next birth. Again and again, they will come under my grip. This is Yamara speaking. So. In the Katha Upanishad 1.2.9, it is also said, O dear one, the truth cannot be known by material logic. It is known only by learning it from a self-realized soul. Because you are sincere and determined, you have learned the truth. O dear Nachiketa, I pray that my other disciples will be like you. The words of the sages are a bridge to understand the truth. In the Mahabharata, Bhishma Parva 5.22, it is said, anything transcendental to material nature is called inconceivable. Whereas arguments are all mundane. Since mundane arguments cannot touch transcendental subject matters, one should not try to understand transcendental subject matters through mundane arguments. Because it's inconceivable, it's beyond. I mean, why is there the word? Because there is such a thing. So what's transcendental is inconceivable to the material platform. So because it's beyond the material platform, inconceivable, then it's very logical that you cannot understand the inconceivable through mundane arguments. Right? It's beyond, so how will you understand through mundane arguments? Right? People, because they identify with the material energy, that's why they so much insist on it. So one could say, no, with the Maya bodies, they don't identify with the material nature. Of course they do. Their goal is still the material nature. The process is using material nature. You know, anything, all the processes, I mean, process means the mechanics of them using their mind, intelligence, ego. They're using the elements of material nature. Their processes that they do accept from the Vedas, then the Vedas will be considered that they are also material. So everything about them is mundane because they identify as the material world. They say they're interested in Brahman, but the Brahman that they talk about doesn't exist. Right? You have a particular part. Let's take like this. Here's more of a reality. I have a whole, you know, bunch of the 24 elements, right? And so they're all there in their, you know, primordial state, right? It means abhyakta, they've all been made into their different things. But now, and the Lord has then devised, you know, which one, you know, how you combine them to get the 8,400,000 species, the 14 planetary systems, you know, within those, then you're going to have the, you know, the coastline, you're going to have hills, you're going to have valleys, you're going to have mountains, you're going to have forests, you know, cities, villages, all these different things. So now you're going to take some of that and covered by the modes of nature, then you're going to get the specific situation that the living entity is in, right? And so being in that situation, now if they want to go back, they can get rid of that by giving up that situation. Then the body that goes back to the material energy. But the soul continues on to this transcendental platform. But they think, no, we're going to merge into that. So you can see is actually they're just materialists. They're just worshipers of property. But, you know, Shiva's talking these things, and so he's left them under the grip of his wife. She still controls them. So what they're talking about, that process does work. You take a certain portion of it, and by being controlled by the modes of nature, then it works, like the universe that has the coverings. So that's all your storehouse of the elements. And as needed, then the more or less elements are there. So they become covered by the modes. So they're saying that, okay, you have Brahman, but they're not understanding the Brahman they're talking about is Prakriti. Right? And then the Jiva, because he identifies with the material body, therefore, then you say, now that's Jiva, the conditioned soul. But they don't understand what is actually the liberated soul and what's the source of property, being the Supreme Lord. They know some, because they're not going to connect it with Brahman, because it's different from Brahman. Because otherwise Brahman is producing it, that means then there's variety, there's all these different things, and they want to avoid that. So they already have their philosophy, then they try to fit the Vedic things into that, rather than they're studying the Vedic literature under the authority of the devotees. And that by that, then they understand the reality. Right? So that's the difficulty. They've come up with some, they've studied, and then by their material intelligence, they've come up with some idea, and they're very smart. Then they take everything else and then fit it into that pattern. Does that make sense? I look at something, I come up with a conclusion, that everything else I look at according to my conclusion. So you can say, yes, it's based on the Veda, but it's only as a starting point. But their actual philosophy is coming from themselves. Does that make some sense? Yeah. So therefore, it you know, so that's the point that's being said by the saint here, is that you can't realize these things unless you learn it from somebody who's self-realized. Just like if I want to learn math, I go to a math teacher. I want to learn music, I go to a music teacher. I want to learn self-realization, you go to someone who's self-realized. Right? It's only natural. No, we can do that ourselves and all that. So then why don't you do everything else yourself? In Sri Vyasa's Vedanta Sutra 2.1.11, it said, transcendental topics cannot be understood by argument or logic. But he doesn't say alone. No, just say they can't be. In Bhagavatam, in Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.21, Sri Sutra Goswami explains, thus the knot in the heart is pierced, and all misgivings are cut to pieces. The chain of fruit of actions is terminated when one sees the self as the master. Right? So when one sees Krishna as the master, then everything else is adjusted. Like that. Liberation is described in these words of Srimad Bhagavatam 2.10.6. Liberation is the permanent situation of the form of the living entity after he gives up the changeable, gross, and subtle material bodies. So a permanent situation means when he goes to the spiritual world, right? Because only that can be permanent. Because the jiva by nature, being Satchitananda, they're going to have knowledge, willpower, and experiences of happiness. So that can only be experienced through the body. So then it's a matter of, are they doing that on the transcendental platform with the spiritual body and spiritual activities, the spiritual will be the desire to please Krishna, or with the material, like that. So therefore the self must mean Krishna, because he's the Atma. When we say self, it means Atma. So when you see Atma is the master. Right? Because otherwise, our idea is, no, we're the master. Liberation, okay. And so, therefore, then when you get rid of the gross and subtle bodies, then you come to that. It's the form of the living entity, right? Not just the living entity without form. Because it's not permanent. Here, someone may ask, if it is by the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that the individual spirit souls are given independence, and if by exercising that independence, the souls find only sufferings, then why is that gift of independence considered mercy on the Lord's part? Right? Fearing that someone would ask this question, the author of the sutra speaks the following words. Right? I think we've discussed this quite a few times already in class. It always comes up. You know, if he gives us independence and then we use it to come here, what's the point of it? Why does Krishna do that? In other words, why not just use your independence properly rather than why am I made that I can also make mistakes and I am making mistakes and I'm attached to these mistakes and I want to continue making mistakes, but I don't want to suffer from the reactions of these mistakes. So why did Krishna make me this way? Stop doing that. Sutra 20. Because by the Lord's mercy they are independent, the individual spirit souls can turn from the Lord and love others in his place. Udriki, Srila Jiva Goswami elucidates this connection the following in Anucheda 83. The cloud produced from the power of the sun is not destroyed by the power of the eye, but by the power of the sun. Right? It's not that we go out and it's cloudy and we stare at it and the clouds go away. Ahankara flees or is destroyed by inquiring about Paramatma, Atmanaha, by his mercy. This shows that ahankara is not destroyed just by knowledge gained by a person. Vivartavad does not accept this point. Ahankara is here in Upadi on the jiva and does not refer to the ahankara arising from the jiva's root. Right, so they're saying through knowledge, through Vedanta, they will understand it just by that intellectual process. But it's not, it's destroyed by the sun itself. Right? So they're thinking, me, the jiva, by using knowledge, I'll destroy the ahankar, the cloud. Right? But it's pointing out, it's no, the sun will destroy the cloud. You inquire about the sun, then the cloud goes away. So if we serve Krishna and serve him, then the cloud goes away. That's right, for the devotee, there's no separate endeavor for these things. They just simply focus on serving the Lord, and then everything goes very well for them. But if you say that, then you don't feel I have my independence. I know I gotta do it. You know, okay, then you do it. But the point is unless what you do is in connection with the Lord, you know, then how is it going to happen? Because when it's in connection with the Lord, then the Lord being very kind, then the whole ocean of material existence shrinks down to the size of a calf's hoof. You know, so we mean about that big. You know, so you can easily step over that. Right? So that's the process. But no, they were thinking, no, it's through my logic, through my renunciation, through my knowledge. That way I'll clear the illusion. But as we said before, all these tools that they're using are still coming from the material energy. The eye sees the real form of the sun after attaining qualification by the strength of the sun, without the covering of great darkness caused by the cloud. The eye then knows its own sarupam ikshate, or manifests its power. Sometimes while seeing itself, the eye also sees the sun. Similarly, one becomes qualified to meditate on Paramatma. Right? So then, without the covering, you can see, it knows its own sarup, or manifests its power, because it has knowledge, right? Say, existence and bliss. It has potency, it has willpower, it has qualities. But the point is it's limited. So when these limited qualities are engaged in the service of the unlimited Supreme Lord, then everything starts to work very nicely. Then you're free from illusion. But when you try to do things on your own, so in other words, their process that we're going to do this ourselves is the very process that got us here in the first place. So why would the thing that brought you here be the same thing that's going to take you back, right? There has to be a transformation of that so it goes the opposite way or something. Like I came here like this, I go back like this. I don't come here like this and I'm going to apply the process, that same process over here and go that way. That's why then it says that those who are the killers of the soul will go to hell. Because by using that process, material process that came from the position of the Lord to where they are, and then by using that same process again, they'll get themselves to where they are to hell. So, yeah. Commentary by Srila Bhaktivedanta. To make them powerful and glorious, the Supreme Lord gives independence to the individual spirit souls. Using this independence, the souls may forget the Lord and become attached to the objects of material senses. That is the meaning. In the Upanishads, it is said, entering the individual soul, I will create the name and form. Oh, entering with the individual soul, I will create the name and form. In the Mundaka Upanishad, so the Lord creates all these different things, right? Because we get attached to material objects. How do we get attached? Because the Lord will create these things. He'll it's his energy. He'll enter into everything and he'll make it work the way that it should work. And then we have our options, what to get. We can be attached to 8,400,000 different ways of doing something.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
Maharaj, I heard by the interference of the spiritual master in the disciple's life, one can get rid of this false ego.
Okay.
So can you speak on that one? Because by our own endeavor, how one cannot get rid of this false ego and...
Because the point is why do we have false ego? Right? We have false ego because we don't know who we are. So if we don't know who we are, how will we figure out who we are?
Yes, ma'am.
Does that make sense?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. So it's only when the spiritual master reveals who we are, that we're the soul, we're servant of the Lord. You know, that's our eternal nature. That's our eternal position. Then we can know things nicely. Does that make sense?
Yes, ma'am.
Because by false ego, how will you get rid of the false ego by using the false ego? On its own, it won't work. But we see in karma yoga, as Krishna gives in Gita, I'm using that false position, but I'm identifying as servant of Krishna. And I'm using that upadi to serve and please the Lord without attachment. That destroys it. Because you've added the super soul. That was the point. By inquiring about the super soul, by Paramatma, that's how one will get rid of this material illusion. So it's only when Naishkarmya is done in connection with the Lord that you'll actually remove and get out and go back to the spiritual world. Well, the followers of the Vedic tradition, they're talking about that you're following Naishkarmya, that will just get them up to the point of enjoying the results of karma or the results of jnana. But it won't get them to the spiritual world because that involves bhakti. Because they'll be detached temporarily until they get their results. You know, like the person will work hard all week at work without attachment. But then on the weekend when he gets his money, now he and the family, and they enjoy that.
Yes, ma'am.
So makes sense. So that's the whole point, is it has to be understood that the karmis and the jnanis and the yogis, they're all materialists. It's only if they come in contact with the pure devotees and they have an interest in that devotion, then they're going to move forward into bhakti and actually become transcendentalists. But it's just like within the material world, we say this is good, this is bad. Everything in the material world is bad because the good will make you suffering, the bad will give you suffering. So it's just a matter of label. We say, oh, this is good and that's bad.
Yes.
Does that make sense? Yeah. Because whatever one person calls good, someone else will say it's bad. I mean, that's just the way it is. And so therefore, then you have that aspect that we know one has to be very, very careful, that one is understanding that these are just different, dharma, artha, kama, and moksha are different, just different features of the material experience, material consciousness. So only when there's that devotional consciousness, then you're going to actually go beyond that. But otherwise, there is no other process other than bhakti to get beyond. You know, I think, oh, they're just so smart, they're intellectual, they can speak so nicely, oh, they're so renounced, they know the shastras so well, and all these things, so we may be bewildered and think that, you know, that they have so much, you know, they're so great and all that. But technically and mechanically they may be, but we have to remember it's all that's given by Krishna anyway. And so it's Krishna's shastra and all that. So if someone studies it and they become renowned, why is that so surprising?
Yes, ma'am.
Somebody works hard at economics, they get money, why are we surprised? You know, if he went to work all day, you know, sat on his desk, in his office, behind his computer, you know, for 16 hours a day, and he did this for months and months and months, and then after that, you know, when he comes home one day, then, you know, how you say, he's, you know, physically, you know, looks very good. You know, he comes back home, he looks like Arnold Schwarzenegger or something.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Is that what you expect?
No.
Yeah, so therefore, then... So that's the point, is he works in money and he gets money. Why is that so strange? You know, so they work in knowledge, they get knowledge, or they work in renunciation, they get that, or they work in, you know, rituals and that, they develop that, or whatever is the field that they're interested in. They develop that. That's not strange, because if you properly reciprocate with Krishna in that field, because that field is Krishna, then Krishna will reciprocate. You see him as money, you reciprocate as money. Right? So, but the point is it's still within the confines of the material world. Bhakti is outside of that. It's the only thing that's outside. In the spiritual world, everyone has devotion. No one doesn't have. In the material world, then not having devotion is the standard. It means everybody, anyone who's here has a lack of devotion in some way or another. Then by the association of pure devotees, they can come to the position where now they have that devotion. Okay.
Yes, Maharaj.
Never be bewildered that the karmis have something and that we respect them. I think what was that? Infatuated, or what was that one Jagadish Prabhu pointed out?
Fascinated.
Yeah, so they're fascinated by, you know, the material energy and anybody who's good at it. And, oh, wow, look at this, look at the karmis. In this self-help book, look at this. This is so wonderfully said and nice. Krishna shows them how to say these things. But if it's not connected to the Lord, what's the point? You want to connect it to the Lord, great. But why are you fascinated with those people? Are we fascinated with Jaimini and Gotama and Kanada and all those guys? These guys are way more intelligent than these walls. Whatever they're talking about is already there in the Niti Shastras. You know, Confucius already talked about this. Lao Tzu already talked about this. I mean, it's already there. And now they're coming along and from their experience, and nice. But where does it come from? It comes from Krishna.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Okay. Commentary by Srila Bhaktivedanta Thakur. To make them powerful and glorious, the Supreme Lord gives independence to the living individual spirit souls. Oh, I see. Using this independence, the souls may forget the Lord and become attached to the object of material senses. That is the meaning. In the Upanishads, it is said, entering with the individual soul, I will create the name form. In the Mundaka Upanishad 3.1.10, it is said, person who is pure in heart attains whatever he wants. He enters wherever he desires. A person who desires auspiciousness should worship such a self-realized soul. And because his desire is always in connection with Krishna. So moving through the material world, it's just Krishna's place. And so within that natural, you want to use the different objects that you have a qualification to use in Krishna's service. Right? That's how it works. It means you have the time, you have the place, and you have the circumstance. So the time has to be proper for a particular action that gets a particular result. Right, and then that action, it has to be the correct action for that place. You have a place, you can only do certain actions in it, so it has to be the correct action, and then that action has to be performed correctly. Otherwise, place has no meaning. Time is there, place has to be, you know, that has to be correct, because you can have the right time, the right place, but you don't use the right activity, or you use the right activity in a wrong way. And then there's the circumstances that yourself, how are you qualified for this place and circumstance? I mean, this time and place. You know, I just take it automatically, whatever I want to do, I'm qualified. But no, what are you qualified to do? That's how it's done. You work by who drives the car? Someone who has a license, someone who knows how to drive. Right? You know, who teaches the math class? Someone who knows math. You know, maybe he knows Swahili, but that's not enough. He can't teach math class. Right? So it has to all match up. So the whole point is that the self-realized soul he sees himself in a position where all this is Krishna's. It's Krishna's place. And so therefore, whatever situation he's in and the time is there, what he's qualified for, that he does. But in any case, he can always be absorbed in Krishna, remembering Krishna and all that. That's not going to be limited by the time, place. Because the soul can always be absorbed in the Lord. Right? So from that position, then that goes on very nicely. So that's why then as self-realized soul, he attains whatever he desires, because it's only to please Krishna in the context that he has the natural quality for. No one can say, oh, but it's above the rules. But above, it's above Krishna. Krishna is the rules. But you're not doing it because it's the rule. You're doing it because it pleases Krishna. That's the difference. Right? You cook this for your friend because he likes it. Someone else who wants to get something from that friend, he cooks what he likes because he thinks, okay, if he likes what I do, then I can get done what I want to get done. You know? So we have to see is that above the rules means it's not about the rules, but the mechanics don't change. When you say something spontaneous above the rules, doesn't mean the mechanics change. That's foolishness. That's ignorance. That's just, again, I can do whatever I want. And I don't have to. In other words, I'm not the result. I mean, for Krishna's pleasure, I'm not doing. It'll be for my pleasure. The technique that's used, I won't use the one that is recommended. I'll use whatever I feel like. And the situation, therefore, has certain things in it and is controlled by all these different things. I don't care for that. It's just whatever I feel like. So in the name of spontaneity, people are just being mundanely whimsical as they have been since time immemorial. Right? In other words, anything that can show that I am independent and can do whatever I like, I'm going to catch that one and immediately shall see. So that's the way it works, is that you're going along, okay, it makes sense and all that, and then there's something that uses words or something that looks more like what my conditioning is and my material design. Then I go, oh, okay, so now I can do like this. So I've understood all this spiritual, and at this point now my misgivings and doubts come in. And so I would say it becomes injected into all this spiritual stuff. So it's also spiritual. No, that's just a distraction. Those things have to be given up. But Krishna is so kind as we can use our condition and use our attachments and that in Krishna's service. But it still has to be according to direction. So when we're doing it spontaneously to please Krishna, that's rag. And when we're doing it spontaneously to please ourselves, that's material. So when we're being whimsical, it's about ourselves. It's material. Does that make sense? So here, he attains whatever he desires, because he only desires to do things to please Krishna. And according to the situation, then he goes. Right? It's just like, okay, as we saw in the song, Narottam Das Thakur is pointing out that in that position of being a maidservant of Srimati Radharani, then when Krishna leaves to go to the forest with the cowherd boys, then everybody in Braj is there because everybody loves Krishna. So everyone's going to see him off when he goes. So now, then the cowherd boys, they just naturally spontaneously go out with Krishna. That's their mood, that's their service. Now the gopis, as Narottam Das Thakur points out, they also want to go, right? But the time's wrong, the place is wrong, and the circumstance. They're not qualified to go out at this point. The cowherd boys can go, they can't go. But at night, they can go out, but the cowherd boys don't. They're asleep. So even there, you can say, is they're following their nature. But it's spontaneous means it's just to please Krishna. It's not to, I do the rule. That's what, because on following the rules means you have two mentalities. I follow rules. And the other mentality is I do not break rules. Does that make sense? It's the same thing, but two different kind of approaches. One is I'm very strict on a codicil. I follow the rules of a codicil very strictly. While the other is I never break the rules of a codicil, I'm very strict. Right? Same thing, but just the flavor is different. Like that. So that's what, but no, here it's about one's pleasing Krishna, and that's what one wants to do. That's the spontaneity, but the mechanics remain the same. This is one of the biggest stumbling blocks on appreciating what spontaneous devotional service is. It's that there's the illusion, you know, which comes from the sahajas and all that, and just from our own whim, that above the rules means mechanics don't work the same. Above the rules means it's not, I'm not doing it because of the rules. That's why when you say spontaneous devotional service, you know, an example is you go to Mangal Arati because you want to, not because, oh no, it's the Brahma Muhurta and, you know, getting up in the morning at that time, it's the best time for spiritual life, and whatever you do at that time has the greatest effect. And so therefore, at that time, you want to be doing the best activities. So that would be something spiritual. And so then going to Mangal Arati, you know, then we'll accomplish that. That's the rules. That I want to go there, I want to see Krishna. So I get up because I want to go and take darshan of Krishna. That's spontaneous. But those who profess the path of spontaneity, they'll never agree to that. No, 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 it has to be, you know, something about the gopis or the copper boys or whoever you're into. And it has to be something connected with them. Oh, you're going to temple because, you know, Radha and Krishna are there and gopis and this and that and like that. But it's still, it's because you have to do that. So they don't even see themselves that in the name of Raganuga and, you know, and taking their position in juxtaposition to the Vaidhi Bhakti, the example and reasoning and logic that they give for what they're doing is Vaidhi. So that's the point. If you're on that platform, you just do it. And if you're not on that platform, you'll talk about how you're doing it, but you're not doing it. You know? Does that make sense? You know, it's just like the guy who's into an activity, he just does it because he likes to. While he sets the standards, while someone else who's an enthusiast in that, then he just does all the externals that all these other guys do that are actually just doing it. And so then because he's done that, he considers he's like them. Right? Does that make sense? Have you ever seen that guy who, whatever's, you know, the latest movie that's come out and whoever the hero or heroine's wearing, but they're wearing, they've gone out, they bought all that, they're wearing it and they're trying to look cool. Do they actually look cool? No. But in their mind, they look cool. And if there's other people that are like them, they all think they're the coolest dudes around. You know, because of this, smartphones are sold so much because they take selfies. Like other, you know what I'm saying? Other places in the world, you know, okay, it does this, it does that, it has a good camera and this and that. In India, you can sell it just because it's the selfie camera. I mean, it's the selfie phone. The other phones, you know, all right, but this phone is the selfie phone. This one you can take. You know, the best selfie. No, haven't you seen the advertisements? Just based off of it's the selfie phone. So that means all these guys who think they're cool are all taking their selfies. But people who are the ones who set the fashion that guy's trying to copy think he's not very cool at all. But it's good for business. You know, if you're in the fashion and they all wear it, great. But if you're not, that's the whole point, is that those in the spiritual world who actually are on the platform of spontaneous devotional service, they do not think that the people who think they're on the platform of devotional service are. So one should understand that. So the point is mechanics are the same. Otherwise, in the reflection, why is it the same? You know, because otherwise, then the tree would be like this here, and then spontaneous in the water, then the tree, instead of being like this, it would be like this, you know, or maybe out like that, or, you know, it'd be, that's the whole thing, is that, no, mechanically, it's the same. That's why you could, the Rupa Goswami can describe the rasas, and all these mundane scholars can describe the rasas, because mechanically they move in the same way. Mother Jashoda means they make a fire. And after making a fire, when the fire is ready, they put a pot on top. When the pot's hot, then they'll put in some ghee. When the ghee is ready, they'll put in some spices. When the spices are ready, then they'll put in the vegetables. When the vegetables are put in, they'll use a spoon and they'll stir it. And then when the vegetables are soft, you know, like that, and look proper and everything, then they'll take the pot off. It's cooked. How does it work here in the spirit material world? Any different? So that's the point. The mechanics come from the spiritual world. So in other words, the Brajvasi set the standard. And then the whole rest of the cosmos follows them according to their flavor. So then in Vaikuntha, they'll follow in their flavor. In the material world, they'll follow depending on goodness, passion, or ignorance. You know, like that. But in the technique is the same. You say, oh, no, it's so different. That means you do not know cooking to be able to say that. That's not. The mechanics of cooking don't change from one cuisine to next. They don't change. What you emphasize, what spices you like to use, or, you know, what prep like that, that may adjust. That's where the variety, but the mechanics are exactly the same. So the point is spontaneous devotional service and that mechanics are the same. Now, those things that are not necessary to support that spontaneous mood, things that were there because of one's conditioning or attachments, those can be dropped. Does that make sense? Like Petri Puja, that's there because, you know, you take care of the parents and all that, then your children will take care of you and this and that. But when you see that, then you don't need to do that anymore. By worshiping Krishna, he's the Supreme Father, you're already automatically taken care of. And then we see, like Prahlad Maharaj, that Nrisimhadeva mentions that 21 generations will be saved by his endeavor. So Petri Puja, you'll only save, you know, father and grandfather. That's all you can say. But he's saving 10 generations before and 10 generations after, right? And himself. So maximum they can get is 3. He gets 21, that's 7 times. Right? And that's just by worshiping Krishna. He's made no endeavor in the area. On the other one, they have to make that endeavor. So in that way, then you don't have, then it's not that. But if a devotee does do those things, they do it just because it's Krishna's, how Krishna's situation, how he's given it, and so it's done. You know what I'm saying? If the family's expecting, it's done. But you know it's Krishna who's going to take care. Krishna's going to save them, not your ball of rice. Right? Your ball of rice is offered to Vishnu. That's why when it goes to them, they get better. You know, but if you offer it to Amita Bachchan, it's not going to save your forefathers. Like that. Sorry to say, but it won't happen. Yeah. Srimad Bhagavatam. Oh, okay. In Mundaka Upanishad 3.2.2, it is said, one who desires material things is born again to fulfill his desires. A person who attains the Supreme finds that his desires are fulfilled. All his material desires disappear. So you have your desires, you're trying to fulfill them. Then you connect yourself to Krishna. And then you use those desires in connection to Krishna. And in this way, you see you're going through desires. But when you're fully absorbed in the Lord, serving the Lord, like we see Dhruva Maharaj, then there is no material desire. All desires are fulfilled because when you have the Lord, you have everything. So Dhruva Maharaj, though he wanted, you know, so many things, he didn't want them anymore once he attained the Lord. You know, so that's the point. All his material desires disappear. So as a point, when you surrender to the Lord, these things go away. But in the interim point, you're trying to surrender like this and that, then you just engage them in Krishna service. But it's with time you see it's the service to Krishna that's the nice part of it, not the engagement of it. That I'm engaging in getting the results. That's just that, that's the field that you are comfortable in. Your conditioning works in that field. So if you work in that field, get results in that field, that's fine. As long as it's for Krishna. And ultimately we see as Krishna takes care within that field. Right? The Pandavas, they're serving Krishna, but the result, all the kind of results that they get are within the Kshatriya field. Right? They're not getting someone else's results. Because they work, they do service as Kshatriyas, so they get results as Kshatriyas. But as devotees, they're developing their love for Krishna. Yeah? No? In Srimad Bhagavatam 10.16.34, the Nagnapatni say to Lord Krishna, what you have done here is actually mercy for us. Since the punishment you gave to the wicked certainly drives away all their contamination. Indeed, because this conditioned soul, our husband, is so sinful that he has assumed the body of a serpent, your anger towards him is obviously to be understood as your mercy. Right? Because now he gets purified and then he's able to function in a above this envy and all that that's there in the snakes. So then that's their mercy, because the less envious he is, then you know, the nicer he does. And as he advances, then they as you know, the wives, then they also are, you know, are comfortable. Yeah. Chapter 3, Achit Padartha Prakarana. Matter. Then we can go into anything else. Okay, so that finishes the.
Yes, Maharaj.
Yeah, okay. Introduction by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Here someone may ask, in what form or with what potency does the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is beyond the modes of nature and whose form is eternal and full of knowledge and bliss, act to create the material universes? To answer this question, the author of the sutras begins this chapter, which gives the definition of the word achit, matter. Sutra 21. Matter is the illusory potency, maya, which controls the modes of nature and creates a variety of forms and actions from the lowest to the highest. Rudriki, Srila Jiva Goswami. Srila Jiva Goswami describes the Bahiranga Shakti in Anucheda 48 as follows. Now the Bahiranga Shakti will be described. I have now described Maya, the illusory energy of the Supreme Lord, which consists of the three modes of material nature and causes creation, maintenance, and annihilation of the material universe. Now what more do you wish to hear? Srimad Bhagavatam 11.3.16. Antariksha speaks to Videha. Antariksha is one of the Navi Yogendras, no?
Yes, Maharaj.
Okay, and Videha is Maharaj Nimi.
Nimi.
So he's king of Videha, so he's known as okay. I have described Maya, Esha, the cause of creation, maintenance, and destruction, which belongs to Paramatma, Bhagavataha, who has qualities like Aishwarya arising from the Sarup. It has three gunas. Prakriti is also described in the Atharva Shruti. Prakriti is black, white, and red, and bestows all desires of the Lord. Chuluka Upanishad. Prakriti has been described in the Gita. My maya, made of the gunas, fit for the jiva's pleasure, is hard to suppress. Bhagavad Gita 7.14. The author also quotes the following in Anucheda 55. So this is 48. Vishnu Purana describes Prakriti. The invisible cause is pradhan by the best of stages. It is called subtle Prakriti, the source of the effect and cause. It is eternal. It is indestructible without any other support, immeasurable without old age and fixed. It is without sound or touch and unaccompanied by form or other qualities. It is composed of three gunas. It is the source of the universe and flows without beginning. It existed before all else and pervades after Kalaya, Vishnu Purana. Right? So it means there's no other, means what we know of as support here, you know, there is no other support. It's doing everything. Why? Because it's flowing from the Lord. So it's always been there, and it's eternal energy. So therefore, being this connection with the Lord, that's what makes it all work. Because there is nothing else material to make it function. It is the origin of all things material. But its origin is in the Lord. The followers of Vedanta consider pradhan, the subtle state of the beginningless universe, also called avyakta and avyakrita, to be dependent on the Supreme Lord. Tad abhi natvad artavat. Pradhan is useful since it produces the world under the Lord's direction. Brahma Sutra 1.4.3. It is denied independence, which is advocated by Shankya philosophy. Anu manikam apye kesham iti chen na sharira rupaka vinyasta grihiter darshayati cha. Though some say that avyakta in the text refers to pradhan, it is not so, because the avyakta represents the body in the previous metaphor of body representing a chariot, and the text show this. Right. Commentary by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And when they were saying represent in the previous metaphor, what's the previous metaphor?
Don't know, Maharaj. It's referring to the context of that sutra 14139 something.
Yes, yeah, so it needs a bit more.
Yes, Maharaj.
You know, either you stop at that point in the Brahma Sutra 143 and don't bring in the Shankya. Or okay, more after, so that's understood in its context. Commentary by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Here, the Supreme Lord's potency is named Maya. In the Srita Svatara Upanishad 4.10, it is said, although Maya illusion is false and temporary, the background of Maya is the Supreme Magician, the personality of Godhead, who is Maheshvara, the Supreme Controller. In the Svetas Vatara Upanishad 4.5, it is said, a unborn man enjoys an unborn red, white, and black woman who bears many children like herself. Another unborn man first enjoys and then forsakes her. Translator's note. The unborn woman is the material nature. The colors red, white, and black are the modes of passion, goodness, and ignorance. The many children are the ingredients of the material universes. The first unborn man is the conditioned soul. The second unborn man is the soul who, after trying to enjoy matter, finally renounces the world and attains liberation. So, as we were discussing yesterday, is that it's just how nicely it was said and all that. So we get caught up in the poetry that's there. You know, that's the whole thing. That's the point of the Upanishads. It's all mentioned in a poetic way. It may be a slightly different poetic. It's more of an intellectual poetics. like that. It's not necessarily an emotional poetics. But the point is we get caught by that. So the poetics of that we see in the other Vedic literatures that shows the effects of you know, dharma, artha, kama, moksha. You know, all these, whichever the poetry describes these things, then we become attracted by that and bewildered by that. So that's why then, without hearing from the self-realized souls, that we won't get beyond that. We can't get past dharma, artha, kama, moksha by using dharma, artha, kama, moksha. It means if you perform dharma, then you get past that to artha. Artha, you get past that to kama. Kama, you get past that to moksha. Moksha, you get past that by dharma again. So it just keeps going around in a circle. It doesn't have any other process. Right? So it's only when we come in contact with the transcendental personality of the pure devotees, then we're going to then move on. Right? In his Govinda Bhasya commentary, on Vedanta Sutra, Srila Baladeva Vibhushan explains, at the time of cosmic devastation, the three modes of nature become subtle and unmanifested. This is called Tama, the unborn root of matter. At the time of cosmic creation, the modes of nature manifest a great variety of names and form, beginning Pradhan and Avyakta. In this way, forms of red and other colors are manifested. In the Shruti Sastra said, Mahan Avyakte Liyate Vai Vaitam Akshare Sharam Tamasi. At the time of cosmic devastation, Mahatattva merges into the Avyakta. The Avyakta merges into the Akshara. And the Akshara merges into Tama. Yeah, so the Pradhan as we know it, that is then the Tama. It's just there. It's just, you know, it says it's dark, it's effulgent because it's the Lord's energy, but it indiscernible. You can't tell anything. It's just darkness. It's just Tama. Then when the Lord glances and impregnates, then we see is then you get the Avyakta. Because now then it starts to adjust. Right? Like that. Does that make sense? You know, so that's basically then what's okay. We're good. I have on time for that. Yes, okay. Not 7:30. Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.